Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For up-to-the-moment Rhode Island news, follow at Bill Bartholomew on X.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
It's hard to forget those first few days of the pandemic, really even the first few weeks. A lot of us were completely stunned, had no idea what was going on in reality. We were watching Tiger King, many of us, and locked in our homes. And for the most part, I think there was some assumption that the situation was going to play itself out in a reasonable amount of time. It seemed like, you know, maybe by summer, things would be back to normal. Quickly, though, it started to become quite apparent that that was not going to be the case. I think back to the beginning of the pandemic myself, covering it, and just how much of an emotional impact it had on me and my mental health, and just completely freaked out. And as someone who spent a couple of years living in Newport and is really attached to that community, I remember specifically Newport being greatly impacted. There was an incident right at the beginning of what we would call the lockdown with the Newport St. Patrick's Day parade. And there was a bit of a back and forth between the then mayor, who's ostensibly the city council president, Jamie Bova, who was flip-flopping back and forth on whether or not the parade itself should take place. Finally, the state intervened and said, yeah, you're not having a St. Patrick's Day parade. This is pretty serious. And that was probably the moment from a business standpoint, from a community standpoint, that everybody realized we were in this wild and uncertain moment that had really no limits in terms of the impact it was going to have. Sue Siprell is an award-winning filmmaker who chronicled Newport's experience during the pandemic and also during 2020, which of course was a major year for social justice and, quite frankly, a movement that took place in Newport, nationwide, and even globally. Sue joins us this morning to break down this upcoming documentary, which is going to be premiered later this week in a couple of different formats. Newport in This Together. It chronicles the city's experience during the height of COVID. Sue, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Bill.
Are you a Newporter?
I was born in Newport, Newport Hospital.
Wow. So you're like the real deal. Like you're like certified Newport if you're born at Newport Hospital.
Certainly gives me street cred in Newport.
What's your experience in terms of your background as a filmmaker?
So I came to filmmaking pretty late in life. I left the state of Rhode Island at the age of 18 when I went to college in Massachusetts. And then when I graduated from college, I moved to the New York metropolitan area. And that's where I spent the next 40 years. First, I was a commercial banker. And then my husband and I had 5 children, so I was home with my kids for many years. But I really never expected to be an at-home mom for so many years. So when I was in my late 40s and I still had 5 children living at home, I went back to Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. And after I graduated from Columbia in 2008, I started making films. And Newport in This Together is my third.
It's an incredible project, and it's something so important because, as I alluded to in the open there, it was such a specific time. It's hard to imagine, even if we had another pandemic, in terms of the generations that are currently alive and have lived through that pandemic, or those who were lost, of course, but it's hard to imagine that we would ever experience that moment again. It's a feeling that I can't consider, or I can't imagine being associated with any other event. What inspired you initially to document the specificity of the city of Newport and its experience with COVID?
So the answer to my question relates very much Phil, to your introduction. My husband and I moved back to Rhode Island and became full-time residents in early 2019 when our youngest daughter went to college. And we thought, okay, we're free. And then the pandemic struck, and 4 out of my 5 children and significant others, my daughter with a granddaughter who was also pregnant, moved home during the pandemic. So we had 11 people living on Aquidneck Island together during the pandemic. And at first, as you said, we were all stunned and thinking, oh, this will be over in 3 weeks, 3 months. So everybody else was working full-time or going to school full-time. And mostly I spent the start of the pandemic doing all the shopping and doing all the cooking because I had the ability to do that and I was trying to keep my family safe. But one day in November 2020, I was out for a run. I was not thinking about making another film at that time due to the uncertainty in the world and the pandemic. And I ran under Hanging Rock, a famous spot for thinking and philosophizing. And it suddenly popped into my head. I mean, seriously, popped into my head. Why don't I make a documentary about a well-known American city with both national and international name recognition, with genuine cachet, and really sincerely document how a community copes with an outside significant threat, in this instance, a global health pandemic. Mm. That's how I got started.
Yeah, it's a spectacular concept. Obviously, it's a horrific moment in time. But at the end of the day, it's an important documentation of humans' experience on the planet because there's been nothing like it, and hopefully there won't be anything like it again. Newport is, a lot of people, when they hear Newport, they think, you know, uber wealth, they think sailing and summer resort, they think of the Kennedys or something like that. And all that's true, that's there. But Newport's a much more diverse community than a lot of people realize in terms of its makeup, in terms of, you know, quote unquote income levels. And it's a diverse community with a large working class and middle class as well. That's been impacted greatly by the onset of Airbnb and the housing crisis. But nonetheless, it is a diverse place that had many different reactions to the pandemic. What's the big takeaway from your standpoint that was sort of the through line between folks who might live on Ocean Drive in a mansion and those who were just sort of your quote unquote everyday Newporters? What was the unifying moment?
Well, before I directly answer the heart of your question, I do want to say that I was driven, Bill, to do as many interviews with as many Newporters with as diverse experience and background as I possibly could. So I did 200 interviews, video interviews with Newporters between November of 2020 and May of 2021. And so that was really the height of the pandemic. Someday we were doing 3 or 4 interviews. Everyone was masked except a couple of people I had to interview on Zoom. For example, the chief medical officer of the hospital. I couldn't go into the hospital early in the pandemic, so I had to interview him remotely. And many of the interviews, as people will see when they see my film, were conducted outside. It was freezing, but they were conducted outside. So my takeaway across those interviews was the resilience of people. And I really can't emphasize that enough, Bill, that no matter who I was talking to, they found a way to cope. They found the strength inside themselves to overcome the circumstances. And many people not only found the strength to cope with their own individual suffering during the pandemic, but in Newport, many residents also reached out and helped others. So ultimately, what I drew from making this film was people's ability to adapt and be flexible and innovate in difficult circumstances, in tough times, and also just this outpouring of generosity and kindness from Newporters, a real deep sense of community toward one another.
Mm. I would completely agree with that thematically as well. That was one of the big things that for sure was a through line. Now, there were people, of course, you know, I'll never forget the amount of what I would call maniacal messages that I received from, you know, I was covering COVID every day with the governor and broadcasting on social media and other platforms. And the amount of messages I got for people that said, you know, I was a part of the deep state and the masks were, you know, just a way to control the population. And in some cases, people, of course, saying that it was just a flu and it was a fake pandemic. That was the loudest voice, or those were oftentimes the loudest voices in the rooms. And that was disturbing. But I would agree that for the very most part, most people accepted that this was a significant challenge, if nothing else, and found a way to persevere. Newport, one of the big takeaways from, or changes that took place in from the point, the onset of COVID through contemporary times, was a really dramatic shift in the arts scene in Newport. I remember being at a performing myself on a Wednesday night and in March 2020 and looking up the TV in the bar when I went in, I think right before my set, and I saw an announcement, NBA cancels season, on the TV. And I thought, man, this is going to be my last performance for a while. And it was. And Newport lost most of its original music venues. Again, the massive amount of people moving from other cities to Newport to kind of ride out the pandemic, the onset of Airbnb, closing of venues. It didn't destroy the Newport art scene, but it really had an impact that it still hasn't recovered from. As an artist yourself, what's been your experience in terms of the resiliency of the Newport arts community, especially on the music side, in spite of the fact that there were just so many changes that made what was once a completely fertile space for art into a much more challenging environment?
Well, what I hope for my film, Bill, as every artist hopes for his or her work, is that by looking at the particular, people see the universal. And so by really focusing the lens on one community, I hope that people will find commonalities between where they lived. And Newport, to get to your question, has this huge arts community, both visual and music and film and, you know, all of the dimensions. And in my film, because I was filming during the lockdown / quarantining part, you know, there's no live musical performances. And what we filmed really was, I mean, because it's kind of the elephant in the room, are, you know, folks from the Newport Festival Foundation, the folk and jazz festivals, and the closure of the folk and jazz festivals and how much of a hit that meant to the Newport economy and to the statewide economy. And we know the folk and jazz festivals are back in all of their glory for all of us to enjoy and to bring us together with music. And we also know that tourists are coming back to Newport in droves. And the forecast for this coming summer is an excellent tourist season. So I am optimistic, although I am not a member of the Newport music live performance community, that you will see the resurgence of your audience and venues for you to perform again. I know Newport Classical is back in full performance mode, so I think it will all return.
Mm. Last year, about, I guess, Memorial Day weekend last year, a crew from Euro News followed me around for a day in Newport as we explored some of the venues that were still open but trying to make it happen in really challenging moments, and those that closed. But also, we went to a house venue where a backyard series, it's called Analog Studios, and it's really became the epicenter of the Newport music community during COVID because it was outdoors. You could space out. It was just a house but the stage was constructed. That's the sort of adaptation, almost leaning into the DIY spirit to say, we're going to do it no matter what, and we're going to do it safely and keep this thing moving. It was such an impressive experience to see with those folks, Dave Flamand and Mason Dubois, who run Analog Studios. And there are many, many other examples of this. You think of Newport Film and the adaptation that they enjoyed with outdoor screenings. People in their cars, I remember going to films and watching it from our cars with the little radio transmitter. And adaptation is essential to any arts community. And Newport showed not only a willingness to adapt, but an ability to adapt. So I completely agree with you that you take a look at the lineups for this year's festivals, and it's, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, as always, trying to be a part of them in terms of attending. And the on-the-ground Newport arts community is in recovery mode, and it's going to be back stronger than ever before.
But also, Bill, what you're talking about there is just so inspirational and exciting, because everyone's looking for unique, one-of-a-kind experiences that feel, in this age of AI and disassociation from others, that feel real, that feel intense, that feel, that help you feel connected to other people. So these backyard performance spaces and this do-it-yourself ethos, I think, feels good to people. It doesn't feel like this is, you know, an adaptation. This feels like this is a whole new world, a new way of connecting with musicians and music and sharing that experience together. And of course, that's what Newport Film is all about, bringing a community together to experience a film together at the same time, rather than watching it alone in their living room or on their laptop or phone.
Completely agree. I want to talk for sure about, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd and sort of the tsunami of social justice movement that also took place in 2020, and how that impacted the city. And of course, also some details about how you can see the film. Right now, though, I just want to tell everybody about the Rhode Island Media Group, home of the Independent, Southern Rhode Island Newspapers, the Westerly Sun, and the Call-In Times. They have local news coverage that you can't find anywhere else. Get in-depth local sports, events, and news coverage straight from the sources you trust. If it's hyper-local news you're looking for, give them a call at 401-789-9744. Press 1 to subscribe to the print or digital versions of your local news providers at Rhode Island Media Group. We're also brought to you in part by the University of Rhode Island Online. Visit uri.edu/online or give them a call at 401-874-5280 to learn about the wide array of programs that the University of Rhode Island Online has to offer. Sue Sapprell joins us, and we are discussing your upcoming film, which is, it's going to be available in a couple of different premiere formats. We're recording this on a Wednesday. This will air on a Thursday. So ostensibly tonight will be the quote-unquote VIP premiere. Friday night will be the general public's premiere. And then after that, how can people watch the film?
American Public Television will distribute the film. It will be released to public television stations across the country on May 1st of this year. And 80% of the stations across the country have already indicated interest in showing Newport in this together. So I hate to use the time-worn phrase, but everyone will have to check their local listings.
Yes, I like that. What impacted the murder of George Floyd and the ensuing social justice movement have on the work that you performed in terms of your own approach, but more than anything, just people's reaction and similar community engagement?
So, Bill, what happened was when I started, as I progressed through the interviews and was interviewing people of color in Newport, they started mentioning George Floyd's murder. And remember, I didn't start my interviews until November 2020. So George Floyd's murder and the social unrest aftermath had already occurred. But I was grateful that my interviewees started raising this topic, because I felt that it would give me an opportunity to present a more complex view of Newport. And as people may or may not know, Black residents comprise 7.5% of the population, and nearly 1 out of 10 Newporters now identify as Latino. And the Spanish-speaking population is the fastest growing segment of the city's population. So I felt that my interviewees gave me an opening to portray Newport in its complexity and complications, for which I was very grateful. And so, I mean, Newport, like every city that's changing, is trying to adapt, but it's embracing its changing demographics. I myself am 50% Irish. My father's family comes from the 5th Ward of Newport. They're all 100% Irish. And so, you know, I come from a background Irish need not apply. My paternal ancestors worked in the mansions. So Newport has adapted to change before, and I am optimistic that it will adapt It will adapt and embrace change in its future for all its residents.
Great answer. I couldn't have answered that better, in my opinion, because it's so true. And again, it goes back to that idea that Newport is such a diverse place, and it is not the Newport that you might see on a refrigerator magnet, you know, exclusively. We'll put it that way. What's your, as an artist and journalist, because that's the intersection of the work that you've done and that you do, and it's a really special place to be. What's your big takeaway right now, just in general, after working on this project and looking at the world around you and existing in this space where, again, as an artist, you're, and journalist, you're serving as a mirror for the world around you and even the world within you. What's your big takeaway right now in this moment where it just seems like everything has gone haywire?
I can't tell you, Bill, how much I'm enjoying talking to you in this conversation, because one of the things that I say is that I feel like the mirror, that the film is a mirror being held up to the city of Newport. For the people of Newport to see themselves through my eyes, really, a native Newporter who has lived most of her life in the New York metropolitan area and now come back and looking at this community. And so what I see is a community that, despite the real issues, not to overlook the real issues that the city of Newport faces, that it is a city that pulled together rather than apart during a difficult time. I mean, an extremely difficult time. And that gave me hope. And I do come to my documentary filmmaking with a journalist background. And I start all my films with a question. And I already told you my question for this film, which is, how does a community respond to a crisis? In this case, a global health pandemic. And so the film gave me hope. And hope is Rhode Island's state motto. So I hope people who watch the film feel that same emotion. And I love that it's linked to the state of Rhode Island and its history.
Beautiful answer. I've enjoyed talking to you as well so much. And I look forward to doing it again. It's a true honor. And this is such a spectacular project. I can't wait until more people, well, a lot more people see it. Newport in this together. Because here's the thing, too, with your film, I think any great work of art, whether that's a documentary film, whether it's a piece of fine art, a portrait, whatever it is, a painting, a song, an event, anything, can become a community spark. It can initiate additional community conversation. And I think it's important for people to be able to take a step back, especially those in Newport who persevere through a tourism and service economy that came to a grinding halt, a music and fine arts economy that all but came to a grinding halt, and think about, wow, we did that. If we're capable of that, we're capable of a whole lot more. And you've provided that community engagement and that community spark. And I thank you very much as someone who loves Newport, every aspect of it, cares about the city, and was so sad about the potential loss of not only life, but of way of life. And to see that adaptation and recovery has just been so phenomenal. So I thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Great conversation. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.